Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to Tigers in 20, a Go Tigers 247 audio podcast. Your one-stop shop for all things University of Memphis Tigers athletics. Here are your hosts, the founder of Go Tigers 247, Brooks Hansen, and lead writer for Go Tigers 247, Christian Fowler.
What's up, everybody, and welcome to our second episode this week. I'm your host, Christian Fowler, and joining me, as always, is Go Tigers 247 digital content creator, Kenny Stubblefield. I told you guys Brooks would be back next week. I'm going to go ahead and say that now so people aren't like, why is Brooks not on this episode, too? So, Brooks is going to be back next week. He is, he's got a lot of work stuff going on right now, so he's not going to jump on here. That we know of. Brooks can always surprise us, so who knows. But for right now, it's just me and Kenny on here. And we don't typically do this. If you're an avid listener of the show, you know we typically don't break down every game. That's not. It's kind of an impossible thing to do if we're breaking down every game.
Especially over the next few months, because they're going to be playing so many games. Yeah. We'd be doing four podcasts a week.
Right. I think they have something like five games over the next week or some crazy, like they play Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday, Sunday. So they've got a ton of games coming up. So this is not an every game thing. Do not expect that. But we know there's been a lot of negativity surrounding the program. That's, you know, over the past couple weeks, there's been a lot of negativity. And this week has brought some good news. Jordan Nesbitt enrolling early. And then the biggest news of the week, I think a lot of people have said this already, one of Penny Hardaway's best wins as a head coach at Memphis against Wichita State. I know he's had wins against better teams, specifically Tennessee, Houston. He's had some nice wins. But as far as a win that he needed this badly, I don't know if Memphis has needed a win this badly since Penny Hardaway has taken over the program. So Memphis goes into this game against Wichita State coming off of a loss against Tulsa, a one-point loss, the second time they had lost to Tulsa this season. So they've lost the two games by a combined 8 points. Wichita State, on the other hand, sitting at second in the AAC coming into this game following a 19-point win over that same Tulsa team that Memphis could not beat in either game.
Wild.
And it's wild. And then Memphis hands Wichita State their worst loss of the season. Memphis gets a 72-52 win over the team that was ranked second in the conference, had a 4-1 conference record coming in this game, played Houston very tight, only lost by 7. Kenny, how shocked were you by this game?
Well, I mean, obviously,
no pun intended.
I was
there.
Shocked about the Shockers. I mean, you know, I don't know if shocked is the right word. I was impressed. You know, we have over the last few months since the Tigers have started playing. You know, every podcast has been, you know, you try to take the negatives and take the positives and break it down without any kind of bias or anything like that. And there's been, if anybody is going to, you know, any Tiger fan or anybody is going to be honest with themselves, this has been a somewhat disappointing year because of some of the trends that we've seen in the Tigers this year. And so, you know, one of the things that we talked about that in the podcast that dropped, this latest podcast, Tigers in 20 episode, is that we wanted to see if the Tigers could have a sustained attack, have a sustained amount of success, and take a team when they get them down by 6 or 7 or 8 and extend that lead out and just kind of put their foots on the throat of the opponent. You know, because a lot of times you would see just these ebbs and flows in the game. And you saw that with the Tigers team. They were up by 6 again at halftime against Wichita State. And they came out. The first 12 possessions of the second half were some of the most impressive basketball I've seen in the Penny Hardaway era.
And it was simple. That's the thing. It wasn't some
simple.
It wasn't that they came up with some complicated game plan coming out of the second half. It was simple. They ran. Penny right. said they ran the motion offense in the second half. You could see that they were moving constantly, and the focal point was to get the ball down low.
It worked,
and it worked. You're playing against an undersized Wichita State team. Morris Udeze is their center at 6'8". You've got a guy in Musa Cisse who's 6'11". And although is not very skilled, can finish at the rim. So I love the adjustment. I love the switch in the game plan. Let's force the ball down low. Let's get open looks down low. If we can, if it's like a drive and kick, but instead of drive and kick, they're just dumping it down low. It's simple. It's easy basketball. It's easy points around the basket. Scored on 11 of their first 12 possessions in the second half. And what did they do, Kenny, that we talked about nonstop in the last episode? They finished. They didn't leave the door open. They didn't leave it up to them making mistakes. They kept a significant gap between them and Wichita State through that second half, and that's what they have to do. And I'm not going to lie. When we went into half, when the game went into halftime, 6-point difference, I was like,
oh, boy.
Here we go again.
Here
and
we
then,
go again.
And they pull away. And then Wichita State, I think they got it back down to 9 at one point. And I was like, all right, here we go. Memphis fans are about to absolutely lose it because the debacle is coming. And it never did. So I give a lot of credit to this team that hasn't been able to finish this year, to finish against one of the top-tier teams in the conference. And not only to finish, but to get away with a 20-point win, to never leave it in doubt. And that's the biggest thing about, you know, closing out games. Don't leave it in doubt. Don't leave it up to a ticky-tacky foul or a technical like in the first Tulsa game. Don't leave it up to chance. Finish the game, close them out, and that's exactly what they did on Thursday night.
Basketball is a simple game, Christian. It's a simple game. And if you keep it simple, what's that phrase that business leaders use across the country is KISS, keep it simple, stupid. And that's what the Tigers did in the second half. I remember when Dave Yeager was the head coach of the Grizzlies. He was doing a post-game press conference, and they were asking him about some of the sets that the Grizzlies were running. And I think during the game that in the post-game press conference, the game that he was talking about, There was kind of that stretch where the Grizzlies were going through a rough stretch offensively. They were trying to, you know, run pick and rolls and weaves and a lot of split cuts and actions and stuff like that. And Yeager said at one point, and this really stuck out to me. This is professional basketball coaches, by the way, saying this. He said, "When we need a basket, there's one play that I call. It's four down." You know what the four down play was?
No.
Everybody get out of the paint, post Zach Randolph up, and let him go to work. And it's the simplest play in the world. You pass the ball off to the wing, pass it down to Zach, everybody get out of the way and let him go work. It's simple. And so that's what, you know, that like you were talking about with the game last night against Wichita State, they weren't running revolutionary stuff. They were running stuff that worked. And they kept going to it. What was interesting to me is, you know, we talked about in the last podcast about how Landers Nolley had a first half against Tulsa. He had 13 points, was clearly the offensive leader in the first half, and then came out and the team allowed him to disappear. They allowed him to not take shots. They allowed him to, but if you saw it in the Wichita State game, who was the guy in the first, maybe four or five possessions of the second half that was effective? It was Musa, and it was one play to Musa. It was the drive down the lane, dump off to Musa, because they noticed a trend that, and you're going to have to remind me his name, with the center for Wichita State.
Morris Udeze, very aggressive, and that's why this worked.
Very aggressive defensively, and he would come in and try to double team or try to help on the guard coming down the lane. And the guard saw it and dumped it off to Musa, and Musa got three or four or five dunks in a row, baskets at the rim. And so it worked. And what every time that ball goes through the basket, you could see the confidence level just rising and rising. Like, yes, we can make this happen. We can do this. And it wasn't some revolutionary offense that made it happen. It was simple offense.
And it showed. I've got a couple points I want to make, so I'm going to try not to be too scatterbrained here. But it shows you that something that we've known and that we've talked about, this team is still young. You know, we say that they played a lot last year. They're still young. They're still young guys. And young guys need to see the ball go through the hoop to gain momentum most of the time. Sometimes you get rare players that can have that inner self momentum and just bring it all the time. This team needs to see shot falls to bring in and to ramp up that, you know, that energy. You saw it when Musa was dominating down low, the energy level rose for everybody. Not just Musa, it rose for everybody because they were seeing shots Absolutely. Fall. They were having success on offense. So with that being said, this is something that we've talked about for a while, and I think a philosophy change could be coming, and you can tell me if I'm wrong here. But we said for so long, we thought for so long, that this team would be able to work from the outside in. We thought they had players that could open up the floor, space the floor, to either funnel the ball down lower to get open shots. I think what we saw last night is that this team can work from the inside out and be more successful. Because of a guy like Musa Cisse, that, like I said, isn't very skilled at this level yet, but is so athletic and can out-jump most people that he can get easy buckets down low. And then you pair that with DeAndre Williams, who's nonstop energy, going to go grab rebounds, going to, you know, mix it up, make things dirty, and do what he can down low. If you start there and work outside and get guys like Lester Quiñones, Landers Nolly, DJ Jeffries, who struggled once again, if you can get them open and get them in space, then I think playing from the inside out makes a lot more sense for this team at where they are right now at this point in the season.
Well, the ball was in the hands of DeAndre at the top of the key for a lot of the second half.
Five assists. And he had five assists as a power forward.
And I texted you in the middle of the game and said, okay, this is an interesting shift for me because the ball was clearly in his hands and he was making moves. The worst thing that you can do for especially in college, man, like the guys in college are just, and we have to be honest, they're just not as skilled as, you know, big men in college are not as skilled as big men in the NBA. That's just, you've got to be aware of that. So bringing, and I forgot his first name, but bringing the power forward out, Wade, out from inside the paint to where he has to guard DeAndre at the three-point line because DeAndre made one. He made a three-pointer in this game, and it made him go, I've got to respect the fact that he could shoot this shot and make it. So he comes out on DeAndre, and DeAndre is also skilled enough to get around him. Wade wasn't able to keep his body in front of DeAndre, and you saw it in the second half. DeAndre is a willing facilitator at that role, but he also can make plays going to the basket. He's got a nice spin move into the lane. I mean, it was a unique twist to the offense that I thought to myself when I was watching it, I was like, I think this thing could work. Like, I think that this move, bringing DeAndre out to hold the ball, to basically facilitate the ball, could actually be a play that works moving forward.
Yeah, and it certainly did last night. It'll be very interesting to see what they do moving forward. But Kenny, I want to go rapid fire on three players real quick. We've talked about DeAndre and Musa. I've got three players. You might be wondering who the third is, but I'll get to it. So first up is Alex. So we're just going to go back and forth pretty quickly on these because we need to get through this. Alex Lomax, once again, a very impressive game. We know that he can be a spark plug on this team. He did it again last night. 12 points. He hit two threes, which is shocking to say the least. Sorry for the keep saying shocking. This isn't meant to be a pun, guys. It's just a word I use a lot. So he hits two threes, his first and second of the season. Had success getting down low. Had a really nice fadeaway pull-up jumper from about 8-9 feet away from the rim. And completely confused the defense on that because they expected him, because we've said this a lot this year, to dive as quick as he could and force a bad layup, but he didn't. He pulled out and hit a nice fall-away jumper, and that's what we need to see from him moving forward. 12 points, 5 assists, active on the glass, active on the defensive end, did a great job defensively just staying active and staying in people's faces. So great performance for him. Kenny, what'd you think about Alex?
I'm so impressed with Alex's last few games. You know, he obviously had a super rough beginning to this year. And so I'm encouraged and I'm happy to see him respond and be able to be a productive person on the, like, to me last night in particular, when he wasn't in the game, I got nervous. And when he was in the game, I thought to myself, okay, the ball's going to get to where it needs to go. And so without a doubt, you know, for me, it was the best game of Alex's year. You know, it was a great game for him. But you know, the points are house money, man. Like any points that Alex gets you.
Yeah.
Awesome. It was the defensive presence. It was the leading the team. It was the assists and all that. That was to me like this is what Alex can be. And it was just a great game for him.
All right, second player, Kenny, start us off with Landers Nolly.
Well, Landers is, and I think I said this at the beginning of the year, Landers is a bucket, man. Landers can get buckets. And you know, it's clear to me that he had another really good first half, and then the Tigers kept going to him in the second half, which is exactly what you want to see because he is the most consistent offensive threat for the Tigers on their team. And so him, it's a travesty if he doesn't get the most shots on the team. It's not good if he's able to just fall back into the shadows, because what he brings to the team is offensive production. There's really not much else that he's a competent defender. He's, you know, he can handle the ball decently well, but he's got to get shots up because he's the guy that can make them.
Yeah. And he's also had 14 rebounds over the past two games. So he's helped out a lot on the glass. I know we've said he's a bucket a lot, and I don't think we can classify him as a bucket getter yet. I think right now he's a microwave. Right now he can get hot. He can easily get hot and clip off shots at a high rate, but he hasn't shown that consistency that you want to see yet. I know he's had games. Last night, 4 or 5 from 3, shot 80% from the three-point line, played very well for the majority of the game. But you need more consistency from him moving forward. He can't just go on a 12-point outburst and then not really score for the rest of the game. So I think the Wichita State game was a great stepping stone in as far as his consistency goes. Now he just needs to keep building off of that, because when he's hot, the offense is going to operate at a higher level. And the third player I want to talk about, I know he didn't make a big offensive impact last night, but was incredible on the defensive end of the floor, and that's Lester Quinones. He was tasked with covering Tyson Etienne for most of the game, second leading scorer in the American, standout sophomore for Wichita State, averaging almost 18 points a game, and he got shut down by Lester Quinones.
The water got turned off last night.
Yeah, I think I don't have the stats pulled up, so don't hold my feet to the fire on this one, but I think he was 1 of 12 against Memphis.
1 of 12.
Yeah, 1 of 12. Mm-hmm. Just could not get anything going offensively, and that's not been the case for him recently. He's been on fire in the last several games. I know Morris Udeze won Conference Player of the Week last week, but Tyson Etienne was probably right behind him. And especially with Al-Tariq Gilbert struggling the way that he has been, Tyson Etienne's had to step up. And Lester Quinones, and we've known this throughout his career, he did it last year. When the other team has a two-guard that can ball, Lester typically steps up to the plate and locks them down, and he did that again against Wichita State.
Well, I mean, we saw it last year against Cincinnati with Jared Cumberland. He shut that dude down. And what was interesting to me is, you know, Wichita State fans, anybody who watched that game last night, can look at the box score and go, okay, 1 for 12, 0 for 5 from 3 points, from three-pointer, scored 3 points in 36 minutes, Christian. He played 36 minutes and made one shot in the entire game. It wasn't an accident. Like, Lester forced him into terrible shots. So it wasn't like he was missing just wide open jumpers or wide open layups. Lester was forcing him into terrible shots. I mean, he was shooting step back fadeaway jumpers from the baseline. I mean, it was terrible. And so, man, Lester is the jack of all trades for this team. He is the guy that whatever role he needs to play, he can play. And so, you know, I've said this, I think, now twice this year, that Lester came into this program with the reputation of being a knockdown shooter. And that reputation has evolved over time. And it needs to continue to evolve, for him, like for us to go, this guy is not the knockdown shooter that we need him to be. He is the plug, whatever you need, he can provide. He can facilitate the ball. He can handle the ball. He can guard the best player on the other team. He'll get you offensive rebounds, defensive rebounds. And when in the flow of the game, if he gets a wide open three, he will knock it down. And so, yeah, man, I was super impressed with Lester. And that's the beauty of basketball, is that you don't have to score buckets upon buckets upon buckets to make an impact. He literally had one of the biggest impacts in the game and didn't really have, like, had, what was his, he scored
he
7 points. 7 points. He had 7 points. Shot 4 3-pointers, 3 for 8, 35 minutes. But, I mean, he filled the stat line and made an incredible impact on the game just through his defense.
So, Kenny, we've spent almost 20 minutes talking about the positives, but there still are some things that obviously need to be worked on. This wasn't a one game. We saw everything that needs to be fixed, be fixed. Memphis still only scored 25 points in the first half. I think they had maybe 10, 12 turnovers in the first half. Played pretty sloppy. Luckily, their defense held Wichita State to 19 points. So talking about some of the negatives and some of the things that this team has to build upon, take that 20 minutes that you just played against Wichita State, probably your best 20 minutes of the year up there with the St. Mary's game, and build on that. This can't just be the high point of the season. This can't be the peak of the roller coaster if you want to have any sustained success. This has to keep going upwards. You have to continue to see an upwards trajectory from this point if you want to build off of this. If you come out against ECU on Sunday and fall flat, and that's a game that they 99% will win just because that's a bad team. But if it's a close game and you only win that game by 4 or 5 points and have 20 turnovers and it's real close down the stretch, then you really didn't take anything from this Wichita State game. You didn't build on anything from this Wichita State game. So that's what I want to see. You know, we saw 20 minutes of great basketball, and we've seen maybe, if you add the year up, maybe we've seen 60 minutes all year, the two halves against St. Mary's, and then this 20 minutes. So it's been few and far in between for Memphis. So it needs to be sustained from this point on. You need to see consistency. It doesn't have to be perfect at all times. You can still have those ugly halves where you're scrapping back and forth with a good defensive team. That's going to happen. But to be able to come out of that and do like you did against Wichita State in the second half and show that you were the better team on that night, you have to be able to do that again. This can't be a one-off. So that's the first thing for me is build off of this, because you still had an ugly first half. It wasn't a great first half. So you have to take this 20 minutes, look at that 20 minutes, and build off of it. And the second thing, and this is still just so puzzling to me, is DJ Jeffries. What this team could be if they looked like they did last night and DJ Jeffries was playing at the level that he's able to play, this team could be really good. But DJ Jeffries just has been non-existent for the most part. I mean, I think he came out and hit a couple of shots in the paint, and then he missed 4 or 5 wide open shots in the paint. And Dan Dockage was saying on the broadcast, you can't let this guy get inside 6 or 7 feet and take a shot or it's going in. And right after Dan Dockage said that, DJ missed 3 or 4 for the rest of the game, just easy open shots in the paint where he's almost level with the rim going up. So I don't know what it is. I can't diagnose that. I don't know if it's a confidence thing, if it's a shots aren't falling thing, if it's the wrong place in the offense. I can't answer the exact question on what that is, but Memphis needs him to get out of this slump desperately. And I don't think it's that hard for him to do because he is such a good scorer and can be such a good scorer. But at the same time, we haven't seen much this year that suggests that he's going to come out of that, because I know he opened the Auburn game hot, and he opened, I believe, the Tulane game hot. But outside of that, he hasn't really had much, sustained success for any reasonable amount of time this year. And that it's concerning, because we talk about Landers Nolley and what he brings offensively. Well, I think DJ's ceiling is right there, if not higher than Landers Nolley on the offensive end of the floor. It's just something's not clicking for him right now.
Well, you said you wanted to see sustained success and to take and to build off of that second half against Wichita State. And and do it again and replicate that over and over and over again. And this is a question that you've asked Penny Hardaway numerous times, that, you know, he said it, that he's willing to do this. We haven't seen it until last night in the second half. And that's just his rotations. You know, we've said this from the very beginning of the year. I think it was Brooks said it at the end of last year. He said Penny Hardaway's biggest struggle or his biggest problem this year is going to be finding his rotations and sticking with that. At this point, where the Tigers are in the season and how many games they have to run off on to win, to get a good seed in the conference tournament, to potentially be able to win the conference tournament, which is their only way they're going to get to the postseason, the NCAA tournament. You can't use games anymore as testing ground for to see if DJ is going to get out of the slump.
Yeah.
Or to see if Boogie's going to get out of his slump.
You saw the starting five.
Or to see if
worked.
Malcolm can do it.
You saw it.
You saw 10 minutes.
Alex, Lester, Landers, DeAndre Musa. Those five should play the majority of the minutes moving forward.
Absolutely. DJ's going to have to prove, and Boogie's going to prove that they're out of the slump in practice. Like, they're going to have sustained levels of success in practice before I would even let them touch the floor at this point. Obviously you got to bring in some guys, you got to rest your starting five, but you saw it in the second half as soon, like for the first 12 possessions, the first 10 minutes of the second half, the same starting five was in. It was Alex, Lester, DeAndre, Musa, Landers, and they had sustained success for the most amount of time that I've seen this year for the Tigers offense specifically. And there was zero letdown on the defensive side. That's a great defensive lineup, those five guys. As soon as they started subbing in, you saw Wichita State start making runs. Defensive rope was let go of a little bit. Offense started struggling. DJ turned the ball over three or four times in a row on charges or throwing the ball out and throwing the ball away, missing layups. Boogie not existent again. These guys, the time for trying to get them out of their slump in games is done. And if they're not producing, you got to get them out of there. And so, you know, I don't know what's going on with DJ. I don't know what's going on with Boogie. Those guys are some of the most confusing players to me because they are so talented, but yet it's just not translating. So if you're Penny, my response would be your minutes are so limited moving forward because you're not producing. Boogie didn't produce. He shot four times in the 10 minutes that he played and made one basket last night. And he's just, it's just unbelievable to me. So, for you, you talked about sustained success. We've seen what lineups are successful. Stick with those lineups, and spell some guys when you can. But I'm telling you, I think at this point we have to be out on DJ and Boogie being legitimate contributors to this team. I at this point, it is what it is. They just are who they are right now.
Yeah, I completely agree. I don't think at this point in the season you can risk losing games to manage egos. If that's the problem. If the problem is egos, I don't think you can risk losing games to manage egos. So that's kind of my...
I don't think it's egos. I don't think it's egos, Christian. I think that it is probably more so a frustration of we know what they can be. And so let's get them and let's try to coax it out of them. But at some point, you cannot do that in a game situation. I genuinely don't think that it's we're going to lose these guys if they don't play a certain amount of minutes or get a certain amount of shots up. I don't think it's that. I think it's legitimately we know what you can be, and so we're going to give you the minutes to try to figure this out. Well, that's done with. Like, you don't have the time to do that anymore. Like, you cannot risk losses to try to coax what we know can come from these guys when it's just not showing up. And so as a coach, I would just say, listen, you are who you are right now, and that's okay. There's probably going to be some decisions that need to be made at the end of the year. But we've got to go with what's going to help us win. Right now, wins are all that matters. And we know the starting five that can provide those wins.
Yep, and I think that's what you have to do as a coach, but we'll see what happens. It should be interesting to see who Penny rolls out there on Sunday against ECU and to see what those rotations look like, because I think I've asked him over the past three or four press conferences, when are we going to see it? When is this going to become something we can expect, you know, to see lineups shorten and rotations shorten, because they have to be at this point. And as a coach, as Penny and the rest of the staff, they know. They see who's producing and who's not. I mean, they know the game of basketball way better than you and I do. So they see who's producing and which lineups are producing and which ones aren't. I know they have a lot of analytics. So they have those numbers. So let's see what they do with that information. But with that being said, Kenny, last thing from me. This is episode 98. We are two away from 100 somehow. I don't know how. So we will probably get pretty reminiscent on that episode. You know, typically when we have a milestone, we get a little sentimental. So don't be surprised if Brooks and Kenny and I get sentimental in a couple episodes, because it will be our 100th episode. But with that being said, head over to GoTigers247.com. Check out all the content we've got going on over there. Anything from the Wichita State game is there. We have all post and pregame coverage of that. Same thing for East Carolina. We'll start postgame coverage on that on Saturday, and then have that through Sunday night or Monday morning. We'll have more coverage postgame. So whether it's your basketball coverage, football coverage, Jonah and I have been pumping a ton of VIP content into the football offseason threads. So if you're wondering what's going on with Ryan Silverfield and the Tigers, who they're potentially looking at on the transfer market, X, Y, Z. There's so many things right now going on with football in January that typically aren't because of the landscape of college football right now. So Jonah and I have you covered on that. Go check that out. Brooks is back on the boards posting VIP information. So we're rolling once again. So if you need any football, basketball information revolving around the Memphis Tigers, check that out. With that being said, Kenny, you got anything else?
I'm good.
That's a wrap.
Thank you for listening to Tigers in 20. If you enjoyed this episode, we would love for you to leave a comment and a rating wherever you download your podcasts. If you're interested in daily content all about the University of Memphis Athletic Program, please hop over to www.gotigers247.com. Articles are published daily, and you can join the Go Tigers 247 family by signing up for a VIP membership for even more behind-the-scenes information.
Sonic the Hedgehog, a new hero arrives.
I am
ready. Is there anyone stronger?
No.
Tougher?
No.
Funnier?
I do not make jokes. I make warriors.
Knuckles, April 26th on Paramount Plus.
Yes!
If you want to win your fantasy football league, it starts right now. The offseason is the best time to get ahead of the competition. We'll help you win your league on the Fantasy Football Today podcast, part of CBS Sports Podcast Network. Fantasy Football Today has three episodes every week following the latest news, giving you early rankings, early sleepers, breakouts, and busts. So if you're a dedicated fantasy football manager, check out the most dedicated podcast, Fantasy Football Today. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere podcasts are found.